to the Scarrow Archives, human! Do not touch, look, listen, and most importantly, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy!
Wait, that's a list of things that I shouldn't do?
No, he's saying don't touch, just look, and listen.
Well, he should have said that then. It's okay.
I will.
It's not your fault.
Issue a correction. You must not touch, but you may look, listen, and most importantly, enjoy.
Providing patch notes.
Let me try that again. Grandma is not our strong suit.
Speaking of grandma, did mom tell you a particularly funny story about our grandma?
Not recently, no.
Oh my god. Here's the story about grandma.
Here's grandma. This is $1 is worth of grandma story, folks.
You know our grandma loves a word search.
She loves word searches so much that sometimes she writes letters to complain about errors in the word search.
The word search was literally unplayable. You spelled the word eggplant wrong, and I couldn't solve it. My husband looked. We looked together for 7 hours.
I've soft locked this word search.
You soft locked my word search. Grandma was telling our mom that she went online and she searched for a large print adult word search.
Good.
And she received a large print adult word search.
That's good.
But she received a large print adult word search.
Like an adult, like a not safe for grandma word search?
So our grandma was texting our mom all the words that were
Who is that for?
There's an insults word search that has butthead and dillweed and asshole.
Who is that for?
There was a marijuana puzzle. There was sexual innuendos puzzle.
Grandma, put that away. Who's making these grandma traps? This is a grandma trap.
Because mom and I were talking about this, and I was trying to find the one that she would have been talking about. I was like, she must have just searched large print adult word search on Amazon, right? I can't imagine what else she would have done.
Why
so I searched large print adult word search on Amazon. I didn't find anything weird until I searched large print inappropriate word search on Amazon. And I did find, I found this, and I'll just read you. Well, actually, would you like to read me the title?
I would love to read the title for you. It just says, it just says, word search book for adults in small text. And then in much, much bigger text, it just says, FUCK!
It says fuck in all caps. In that one word is as big as the other five
it
words
says,
put together.
Word search book for adults, fuck.
Word search book for adults, colon, fuck!
What are these grandma traps?
And other funny, offensive, bad words puzzle book.
Grandma, like, a grandma does not need to be exposed to an inappropriate marijuana, like, Rick and Morty Family Guy word search. And I just... I'm gonna write a complaint for a
trap. This is classic our grandma, though. This is what she would always do if she saw, like, a movie.
She would just
be like,
quote all of the things.
They said ass. They said shit.
she would do that. So she would text her mom.
Oh my god, it was so vulgar.
Grandma! I'm sorry that happened to you, grandma. I'm gonna write a complaint. I'm gonna write a letter to this company.
to just any company that makes word searches. An open letter to all word search makers.
Keep it age appropriate, and the age is 80 and up.
When I talked to her on her birthday, she was telling me about another word search book she got, and I don't know why she got this, but it was like a coding word search book. And she was just going through all these words like, Sam, do you know MongoDB? And I was like, yes, I do. It's really weird to hear you say MongoDB.
Is this like when I talk to my friends or my grandchildren? You know, we talk about, what TV shows have you been watching? What games have you... Is this like... So I did. Is this what old people do? Is they like I solved this really good word search. It had, it had stars and it had shows and it had Drew Carey in there.
No, she would never.
She would never. I can't wait to get old if this is what being old is like. That sounds rad as fuck. I'd love to just talk about word searches.
I just love the idea about like searching for specifically an adult word search book, as if word searches aren't all basically the same difficulty.
Is she? Well, no, because our grandma's is a word search, you know, a word search elite pro. She posts on the word search, you know, boards.
She's on the leaderboards.
She's got the PBs for all of the word searches, so she does.
Yo, is that Word Finder 38?
Should we talk about Doctor Who, or should we just keep talking about our
this
grandma?
Is season 6 episode... Nope. This is season 6, serial 5. The Seeds of Death! Parts 1 and 2 from 1969. Huh? Huh. Written by Brian Hales and Terrence Dix. Huh? Huh. Directed by Michael Ferguson. I didn't know this, by the way. Apparently, Terrence Dix is... He's like one of the heavy hitters of Doctor Who history.
Ooh, he's like the Moffat of his time. But probably...
I don't know about
a bastard.
That Wikipedia said that like a lot of like doctor lore and continuity stuff that I didn't look through the list was his additions.
Whose additions?
Terrence Dix.
Did you like this episode?
I did like it.
I liked it. And once again, this is like this is our ongoing struggle through the Patreon episodes. Can I make it through a single episode of classic Doctor Who without falling asleep? And so
in this
far,
case, no, twice.
Twice. Part one put me to sleep, and then part two put me to sleep for like 2 hours.
Oh, good.
It's
well, that's why we're currently recording at 3 a.m.
It's later than I'd like it to be, but it's just like, I mean, I seriously need to start watching the show on the treadmill, because I get settled in by the sci-fi ambiance. Mm-hmm. I get settled in by these gentle, soft British accents. They don't talk loudly. It's not
they
like
also were playing a lullaby for the whole two episodes.
Yeah, he did it on his recorder. Then we didn't even get to see.
No, we didn't
but, like,
see it.
You know, with Matt Smith, shut up, I'm doing a thing. And then Jodie's like, oh, you know how she is. Then in this show, it's all like, rhubarb, 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 rhubarb.
What is this? Rhubarb. What is his name again? The guy who plays the second Doctor?
I don't know. It's probably like Shimpton Cransley.
I think it's Shimpton Cransley. No, I had it written down.
Second Doctor. His name is Second Doctor, and he's played by Patrick Troughton.
Troughton. That's right.
Troughton.
Patrick Troughton. No, it specifically said Troughton. I remember that. Patrick Troughton.
Patrick Troughton.
Practice Taupin.
What's his name again? Praxis?
It's like
Praxis,
Pretzel.
Praxis?
I think, is it just Pretzel?
I think his name is just Pretzel.
I think his name is just Pretzel.
I thought Pretzel was pretty good. I thought he was going to be a bit more of a Mo Howard type. And I was kind of surprised that he wasn't.
Because of his stupid hair?
So I saw the stupid hair. And then when he didn't come out and he wasn't like, hey, Mo, what? Well, he doesn't. That's all what. That's,
hey,
doesn't,
Mo, what am I doing?
What am I doing? That's Curly. But he didn't come out and he didn't go like, yay, 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 yay. And I was really confused by that. But then I remembered that it's just his hair is similar. He's not the same kind of character. And I felt better when I
realized that. He is played
by
the same guy.
He is played. Yeah, I did notice that Mo is played by Pretzel.
Yeah. Mo by Pretzel.
I love that fragrance.
We start in, I was really upset because I thought that we were in a transmat facility, but we actually learn later that it is travel mat, which I thought was fucking stupid.
I was like, continuity, when transmats are back, but then I remember the Daleks.
Using the going places machine.
The Daleks and the transmats were Dalek technology, so that wouldn't make any sense. But this is a future, this is a very confusing future to me, because what happened... is that in the future, they all, like, shipping and travel is done via little teleport cubes.
And, like, information. It's, like, phone calls, everything is all using this travel mat technology.
It's travel mat technology. It connects the entire world to itself. Great, great thing. It has no fail safes, and it's only
and
point
everything
of
is routed through the moon.
Through the moon. And if anything happens to the moon, nobody can get up there, and there are no rockets left. So.
Yes, they nice. Liked travel mat so much that they routed it through the moon and then blew up all the rocket ships.
He got rid of all the rockets.
To make a statement about how much they believe in the product.
If anything goes wrong, And there's like three people up on the moon at any given time. So if anything happens to those three people who are cut off from Earth, the entire...
Oh, wait, sorry. Hold on. I'm getting a call. Two people. There's two people. Oh, wait. Hold on.
One person.
They're saying there's one person. Oh.
Nobody's up on the moon. And if those... That's the entire information and shipping and travel infrastructure on the Earth that they're like, oh, people are waiting for their medicine. That's...
One of the three people on the moon base is late, so just the world grinds to a halt. That's not an exaggeration. That's literally what is happening at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah,
they're like, Fushim is messing up on moon control. Where the Bombay is waiting for their shipment to Tokyo to go, and now the shipment to Tokyo is running late for the trip. And they're like. Damn it, if only that one guy wasn't bad at his job, why did we put him in charge of the whole thing?
Maybe we could put the Transmat facility somewhere closer, maybe we could have more than one, also the Transmat, like, so there's like an Earthside logistics base where, like, they get the shipping requested or something, and then there's the base on the moon, which, I don't know, it has to, like, bounce off the moon to work, and the whole thing is overseen by a computer, and the computer has maybe the scariest voice I've ever heard a computer have in like, when they were designing this computer, they were like, what kind
all
of voice-
All systems operational!
It's just like, I will tell you the exact date and time of your death now! It's like, is this a good work environment? I mean, I guess this is what British offices are like, maybe?
Alert! Alert! No issues detected.
There are donuts in the break room. Happy birthday, Carol!
I have to go pick up my kid from hell.
Yeah, a guy's late to his Transmat job. All of the people in this, because they're in the future, but they're not like that far in the future, but they are wearing like shiny
their
suits.
Outfits are so funny. They've just got like hip holsters.
They're every time
to keep their legs from popping off.
Yeah, every time a character, like, are they trying to evoke diapers? Because they're evoking diapers to me.
Is it supposed to be like that? That Star Fox thing that may or may not be true, that he, like, got his legs amputated to deal with the G-forces.
Yeah, but it's because they have so many donuts in the break room for Carol's birthday that they...
Well, let's just talk about this right now, because, again, everyone gets around using travel mat cubicles. The effect of people using the travel mat cubicles is there isn't one. They stop the camera, and then the guy gets out, and then they start the camera again.
It's an instantaneous travel.
There's no sparkles, no nothing. It's literally
it's just cut.
Cut. The camera moves a little because it's not even that stable.
They hadn't figured out. Listen, if it was this or fucking Flux Maori guys, I would take this over that every day. And this one helps me fall asleep.
We meet Miss Kelly. She is in charge of the Earth office, okay?
And she's
then there's
like,
Brent. He's Brent.
There's also Fushim.
Fushim
and
is the guy who sucks, who's in charge of the incredibly important moon base.
There's a guy named like Fripp or Fripps. Phripps.
Yeah, it's an apple fritter without the apple.
Oh my god, shut the fuck up. I'm gonna kill you.
That's a reference to the Secret Life of the American Teenager season one finale.
It's Amy being an annoying bitch who wants a pastry that doesn't exist, named after a prog rock guitarist who sits down
women.
All the time.
So then there's Commander Radner. He's in charge of the whole operation, but doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, there's a whole thing. There's a power struggle between Radner and Kelly, because Kelly is really good at her job and Radner doesn't do shit.
They keep telling us how good Kelly is at her job, which I assume will matter in the episode in, like, part 5, where she just walks in and pushes a button and fixes
this is
anything.
Like, isn't this like an 8-parter or something?
I think like it's six parts.
We're gonna get so
we go
logistical.
Up to the moon, and Fushim is getting chewed out by... Osgood. We didn't mention Osgood. Oh. Osgood is the guy who got Fushim the job, and he's like, Fushim, damn it, you're making me look bad. I got you this job, and I don't know why, because you're kind of ruining the entire planet's logistics.
Yeah, you understand
right
that
now.
If you don't do your job right, people die because they can't get their medicine.
I don't know why I felt like you should do this job. Did you notice the part where the cameraman just like stumbles?
I love television.
There's a part where Osgood is chewing out Fushim, and the camera operator just, like, kind of lets the camera dip for a second, then picks it back up, you and just they hear, just oh, keep going.
Sorry.
Yeah, you can hear them go, oh, shit.
Oh, crumbs. The people start dying and screaming and running and bad things.
Yeah, there's like loud footsteps from outside, from off screen. And then Osgood is like, nobody move. There's a thing that's got a gun or something. And there's then one thing. Guy's I'm like, I'll move. And then the camera goes like all wobbly and it's like, they literally just like held the camera in the guy's face and just shook it. And then he just like falls over some cardboard boxes, basically.
I took this effect as like, I don't know, maybe their space guns like scramble your insides or something, but the outsides are fine. And then
you just fall over.
Unfortunately, once again, because these people are seconds late for their job, hundreds are dead across the world. Hundreds of people have not gotten their blood.
Oh yeah, it's anarchy down there. We're exaggerating, but we won't be soon.
Kelly's like, there's delays going on for the moon. This is a problem. Can you guys call in? And nobody responds. And then she goes, that fucking bitch, Osgood, doing his bullshit again. People are going to die. This system has no failsafes.
But then we find what's actually happening is that Osgood has a gun to his head from an off-screen alien that we don't see for a while.
This off-screen alien talks like a 9-year-old doing a Let's Play in 2006 when his parents are home. And he's videotaping his video.
We're gonna be playing some Mario.
Do what I say.
We're gonna play some Mario Party right now.
I can't wait for Slow Beef and Diabetes to make fun of these aliens.
Osgood, he fucks up the computer though, and like destroys the connection, destroys the travel mat system.
Did he do that on purpose, or did he do that because he's an idiot?
He did it on purpose to stop them from doing whatever they're trying to do, which we don't know what it is yet. I don't think, forgetting. But
no, they just wanted to party on the moon, I guess.
I will say, I don't remember if I said this. I watched it last week, so I don't remember the details. So I'll pick it up as I go. But then Osgood is dead. Kelly, meanwhile, is like, she's like getting the status report from the computer, and it's like, the one failure point is fucked. And Kelly's like, Radner's like, what was that, Miss Kelly? And she's like, nothing.
I fucking love that computer so much. He's my favorite.
It said the one failure point is fine. They're having fun on the moon. That sounds nice.
Geralt, happy death day.
But sorry, the good news is that it's time for the episode to become great, because we go to the TARDIS. We meet the Doctor, the second Doctor. He's got two companions, Jamie, who has the same haircut as him, and Zoe, who doesn't.
Jamie is Scottish and wearing a kilt to show that
he's wearing
Scotland.
A kilt. Zoe...
I think Zoe might be from the future.
I think she's like a future rocket scientist or something.
Yeah, because she like knows how to work a rocket.
I think said she has like perfect memory or something.
Yeah, she's got total recall. She's like a big brainiac. And then Jamie is a fucking idiot.
the doctor says that they can't get his brain with the brain slugs because he's so stupid.
We need to like keep a running tally of all of the dumbest companions who are idiots. And it's like Jamie... Leela. Dan!
Dan's not dumb.
I love Dan. He's a
Dan
dog.
Dan is just nice.
Dan is nice, man. Dan
I think it might
nice
be Yaz. She'd never heard of Nikola Tesla.
She doesn't know anything about
Tesla. And then Ryan had never heard of Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
Even though his grandma had a Rosa Parks shirt and apparently had like a Rosa
so
Parks.
How did so little attention to his grandma's favorite historical... You know, the sad part is that he knew about Blake the Snake. But he didn't know about Rosa Parks because he hates bus drivers and he wants to have ammunition against them. Anyways, they are looking. I love this scene. They're like using the periscope camera, which, by the way, takes the doctor like considerable effort to turn the camera around. Yeah. He's like cranking it.
There's like a physical like doohickey in the center of the TARDIS console that as the doctor rotates a little wheel on the console, this actual device that they made out of parts that we can literally see it is like cranking and spinning and rotating and flipping and flopping.
Pretzel is working so hard to turn these things.
I just love that they actually built a little thing that rotates when he turns a wheel. It's so good.
Anyway, he turns on the on-screen camera and they see like a rocket and then they're like, huh? And then they turn it again and they see...
Well, specifically, because they don't know when we are. So he's like, oh, that rocket is from the 21st century.
And then he says, where are we? When are we? Blah, blah, blah.
But there's a space helmet from the 1960s.
Yeah, it's marked CCCP or USSR. And I like, I don't know, maybe back in the contemporary time of the Soviet Union, people didn't know about this, but I know about this and the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. But why did none of these idiots know what CCCP means?
I gotta say, I didn't know that it was the CCCP.
You didn't know that?
I've only ever heard of it called the USSR. Well,
CCCP is Cyrillic for USSR.
I guess I'm just such a goddamn patriot.
Capitalist, yeah. They're like, what's going on? And then...
Oh, say
okay, here's the weird thing. I didn't understand this, but maybe this is a little bit Jeremy of me. I'm being a Jeremy. You know like how people say they're being a Samantha or being a Carrie? I'm being a Jeremy right now, maybe. When he, like, turns the crank, rocket, turns the crank, spacesuit, turns the crank... PDF of Leonardo da Vinci's flying machine schematic. And then we find it, and then he's like, oh, you silly geeses, we're in a museum. And I'm like,
museum of space flight.
Why is the like Leonardo da Vinci manuscript?
I can actually explain this because you do see when they get out of the TARDIS and look around, there's a little display that happens to be wedged right around the TARDIS's camera. And it's a little rocket ship and then an extremely up-close space helmet. And then pressed right against it is Leonardo da Vinci's notebook.
His PDF, yeah. They get out of into the museum. Or they don't actually get out. This is, what's his name? Yuri Gagarin?
Yeah.
This is so funny. I was just talking about Yuri Gagarin today. Because I was playing... Okay. you got...
Wow. Wow, what? You're so smart.
No, it's because I was playing Metal
Gear
Solid.
Wow, you're so well informed.
I was playing Metal Gear Solid 3, and in that game you fight...
Oh, I talk about Yuri Gagarin every day!
It's because Yuri Gagarin, when he went to space, there was a quote that he said, like, I saw no God up there. But then in MGS3, there's one of the bosses you fight is the...
Well, it seems I'm quoting Yuri Gagarin!
Can you please let me finish? Because it's kind of funny.
Okay, sorry.
In MGS3, one of the bosses is a like a former cosmonaut, and he's called the Fury. And his deal is that he went to space and he came back fucking pissed. He's just like, I went to space and I got so mad about it.
It sucks up here, and well, now I'm gonna make it.
Literally, that's
problem.
Literally his deal. It's like Yuri Gagarin said, "I saw no God up here," and then the Fury said, "I went to space and I saw an angry, mean God, and now I want to make it your problem." Anyways. They go outside into the museum and, there's like a, hey kids, the travel mat relay is cool and makes rockets obsolete. Oh, and then Jamie makes a really funny joke. This was so fucking epic. Cause Jamie goes, travel mat, what is this? A flying carpet? Ha 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 ha.
And the doctor's like, shh, I'm listening.
Shut up.
Yeah, the video that's playing is like, Travel Mat provides foolproof, instantaneous travel with one failure point on the moon that we can't get to.
If one guy has a heart attack up there, we're fucked.
And can't Jamie leans over to Zoe and he's like, we have our own system, but it's anything but foolproof. And then they like laugh at the doctor.
Shut up.
And then they realize that someone is pointing a gun at them.
Yeah, on space, the people on space are also having guns pointing at them from the Let's Play children. Fushim is the guy. They all look the same, by the way, because they all look British and black and white. He's like, you must cooperate or you're gonna die. And then Fushim,
The breathing was really annoying.
Yeah, the breathing
honest.
Was really annoying. Please. And Fushim's like, no, I can't fix it. I'm not smart like Kelly is.
Yeah, there's two maintenance guys. Baby. I think this is Flip or whatever.
Fushim, Fripp, Boris, Bunsen, Bean.
Yeah, Fushim is like, or no, Fripp is, fucking hell. Fripp is like, don't let Fushim try to fix it, he'll just make it worse. And the alien is like, well, who can fix it? And they say, Miss Kelly, she's so good at her job, but we can't reach her because Osgood broke the computer and the TMAT, or the communicator. And the alien's like, okay, well, then I'm just going to kill all of you. And Fushim's like, wait, there's an emergency TMAT link that is also broken. We just leave it broken, I guess.
I'll fix it. I'm going
to try. Osgood didn't do anything to that.
I'm going to try my very best to fix it up for you.
So yeah, the two technicians who are not Fushim, they don't want to do that, but Fushim does because he's a damn coward.
He's a coward. Slap him. Slap a little coward sticker on him.
And meanwhile, Radner, he's getting pissed off. Radner, thinking about space.
Radner is the guy who's in charge of the transmat facility, but he's not very smart and he's not as good as Kelly.
Yeah, he's like, the government's on my ass. Can you get this damn thing working, Miss Kelly?
And she's like, no, we had absolutely no way to access their systems from down here. So if anything ever went wrong in space out where nobody could reach them, we're
this the is whole... the best, though, at work when you get to be like, it's not on our end. It's not on our end. There's literally nothing I can do. Sorry, I'm going to sleep.
And then this is where we find out. This is the shit that like killed me. This is when Kelly's like, the only way we could get here now is with a rocket. And then Radner's like, okay, well, let's get a rocket. And then she's like, well, we got rid of all the rockets when we made the transmat.
The only place you'd find a rocket now is in a museum. And he goes, exactly.
And nobody knows how to work it because they killed all the rocketeers.
Yes, they murdered all the astronauts. They lobotomized anyone who knew how rockets work except for one guy.
Why? How did nobody saw this coming? But like a solar flare or something, and it knocks out the electricity on the moon because they don't have like an atmosphere or a magnetic field on the moon.
That's what I love about this story. It's like they're trying to do a thing about like, you know, hubris and overconfidence and putting all your eggs in one basket. Like you always need to have other options, and how foolish of them to be so set on this that they killed everything else. But like, this is next level idiocy.
this is some idiocracy stuff right here. Like, how did they not know this was going to happen? And even if it wasn't aliens, it was going to be something else.
Yeah. Miss Kelly's like, but sir, the ladder, I tried it. It's not long enough to reach the moon. And he's like, what?
I reached up and I jumped as high as I could and I couldn't
get everyone run on the other side of the planet to jump. Now!
Here, get on my shoulder. See if that helps.
Everyone!
Human pyramid!
We go back.
Okay, now put it in the hydraulic press!
This is my favorite part of the episode, is the scene where we meet Gun Guy at the museum, because
he's like,
how did you get in here? The TMAT cubicle would have had like a signal noise or whatever to let me know someone's coming, which, by the way,
we don't
is
ever
completely
see
nuts that people can just teleport into your home / museum freely, and the only signal that you get is just like a beep boop.
Well, that's why Mr. Museum has a gun, because people can just, in this future where
God, I hate travel, Matt.
Where everyone's a fucking moron, and they just all have all access cubicle into your home, you have to have a gun in case someone just teleports into your house to steal your shit.
Also, knowing these people, there's probably no doors on the buildings.
we did away with doors when we invented the transmat.
What's the point? We don't need them. We got travel mats.
We cut off
fine.
The second they made the travel mats, we all cut off our legs. And we just...
I like Zoe's explanation, though, where she's like, hey, if the cubicle didn't make a noise, that's not on us.
Yeah. And then he sees...
Which implies, by the way, that if the cubicle had made a noise, there would be no problem. It's no, like, yeah, you could come in freely whenever you want.
You just gotta not ring the doorbell.
Although,
first.
Again, I was joking about it, but he's like, how did you get in here if not the TMAT cubicle? Which does imply that there's no doors.
No doors. We don't need them anymore.
In a world without doors.
This is some Death Stranding shit. It's so everyone's so disconnected because of TMAT technology. There's no doors. You don't ever need to go outside. You just ship things across.
Sam Dorder Bridges.
Sam Dorder.
Going around installing doors.
Sam. You need to make the world whole again, by which I mean you need to cut holes in everyone's buildings.
Sam, if you use your PCC, you can place a door. This will create a hole, which can be used to traverse from one end of a solid object to another.
I never heard of these doors before. I don't. This isn't my fight. I liked your Die Hardman ringtone just then. That's good.
Oh, thank you. So Gun Guy's like, how the fuck did you get here? They say we use the T-Mac cubicle. Maybe you should get that fucking thing checked. And he's like, why is there a 20th century police box in my museum?
I know,
and
what so that
he's
is,
like, actually, yeah. It's a spaceship.
I love that she's not even going to hide it. Also, this was when I
but the doctor's just like, we don't need to talk about that.
I was like screaming at my TV. I was snoring at my TV. And I was going, why don't they just take the TARDIS to the moon?
Well,
they do explain it.
We're skipping ahead, but I talked about this on our Nikola Tesla episode.
The doctor hasn't made her come enough.
Yeah, where they're just like using the TARDIS to like hop around New York City. In this episode, they literally say, we can't try to take it to the moon. We might overshoot it by a million miles or 1,000 years.
It just doesn't work like that. I mean, this is like, wasn't that they were trying to go to Brighton or something and they ended up at Fang Rock? They just can't.
Yeah,
it just doesn't fucking work.
The TARDIS just kind of takes you wherever it wants. You can ask it where you want to go, but it's not, you can't control it.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's fun.
That's fun, and it's good. It's good TV. And
the man introduces himself as Professor Eldred, and he says that this museum is closed to the general public, unless you use the travel mat cubicle to get in here, and then you're in here.
If the museum is closed to the general public, then isn't this... I guess it's just a private museum, but he just lives here.
This is the part that I love so much, where Zoe is like, we're not trespassers, we came to see the museum. And Eldred's like, there's no way that's true. People only come here to laugh at the old technology.
They hate Rocket. They literally come in and they look, Rocket. Old man Eldred, there's never going to be a reason we need to get to the moon, because we got transmats or T-mats.
They're just like throwing rocks at everything. Fuck you, Gagarin. Da Vinci, you fucking loser.
I was happy the day they killed all the astronauts and pushed them in the big pit. Why are they so... I hope this planet gets destroyed and they all have to get on country-themed spaceships to survive.
I will say, I do that, though. Like, I go to museums I see, like a pottery wheel or something, and I just spit on it. I see, like, old like, jewelry or whatever, and I'm like, doesn't look as good as K Jewelers.
You go back, and you're, like, looking at an old butter churn, and you're just like, why did they just buy it at the store? God, they were so dumb. Just spit. You're looking at you go into the caves with, like, the 1,000-year-old cave drawings. You know, they're, like, 6,000 years old, and you're just spitting on them, like...
I go up to someone working at the museum at the Louvre. I'm like, excuse me, can you move the rope so I can rub my ass on the Mona Lisa to show how bad I think it looks in comparison to AI generated art?
I was literally just gonna say you go to the museum and say AI could do it better. If the AI made Mona Lisa, she would have huge tits and she'd be.
And
so
we would
odd.
Know exactly why she's smiling.
Because she's looking at Pickle Rick.
Yeah, I'm just entering my input. I'm like, beautiful woman, sexy, gorgeous woman, enigmatic smile, mysterious smile, interesting smile, huge tits, giant tits.
And also, like, the wife of whatever, the wife of the late something, my patron. Huge tits, smiling.
Huge tits. Looks great. But the doctor is like, people come here and laugh at this magnificent collection.
And then only when he starts, like, asking him space questions does the man, Eldred, finally put his gun down. He's finally ready to not try to kill these people.
I love when the professor starts, like, geeking out with the doctor.
Happy. It's adorable. He's like, oh, you like rockets too? And he's like, look at this. And they're looking at, like, a little model, by the way, but it's based on a real rocket. And he's like, this is beautiful. This is a 21st century rocket. So contemporaneously, this rocket does not exist for the viewers. It's like a futuristic rocket.
Right.
And he's like, oh, this is the like magnetic ion generator. This is the piece of technology that was going to make this rocket so special. And the doctor's like super excited about it.
And this is the SpaceX brand randomly activating self-destruct module that really spiced things up for a while.
Oh man. And you haven't even heard of Tesla?
So they So they reveal, or Eldred reveals, that rocket science is obsolete now.
Yeah.
And he's like, my dad was a rocket science. I've been working on rockets my whole life until T-Mat made it all too easy. There's no sense of adventure also, anymore, damn it.
Once they invented T-Mat technology, not only did they kill all the astronauts and destroy all the rockets, but they literally stopped space exploration. They're just like, nope, don't need it. Nope.
What do we gotta go out into space for?
I could get a hamburger in my apartment from a T-Mat, so I don't really care.
I mean, anymore. I have to get a hamburger in my apartment because I can't go anywhere else.
I can't go outside. I can't get out the door.
No door.
No door anymore.
My T-Mat cubicle broke down and stuck. I would call for help, but the T-Mat is the thing that I call for help with.
It's the phone. It's a new era of just house skeletons because people die in their homes.
So Eldred, we get a little scene where the two maintenance guys, Fripp and Dip, tell Fuchsia, like, we're not fixing the T-Mat, but we think we can fix the video link with Earth. And Fuchsia's like, no, please, don't get help. Do what the alien wants. I'm scared of it.
I want to destroy the Earth. Yeah, so we're back with Eldred geeking out of her rockets with the Doctor, and all of a sudden Radnor and Kelly are here to say, hey, you know that rocket you've got in your museum? We need it right now.
You're the only guy who knows how rockets work.
You somehow survived the great rocket purge of 2025.
And we do get confirmation here, because literally what happens is the cubicle starts going beep, 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 and then they just walk out of it. So there's no, like...
I kind
of
wish that Eldred had just started firing at the cubicle.
There's...
It's a private museum! No,
like, someone would like to T-Mat in here. It's Kelly and Radnor. Do you accept? Like, no, they literally just walk into his.
Yeah, what if? I mean, what if you're asleep? How are they supposed to get into your house if you're sleeping?
Good point. So Eldred accuses Radnor of sending the Doctor and his companions here as spies. We learn that the two of them are old friends. Radnor used to work on rockets too, but he quit to work on T-Mat when he learned that the government would be cutting rocket funding. Of course, soon after that, it would also be cutting rocket scientists' heads off. Radnor says, by the way, he's like, yeah, we actually did used to spy on you, but not anymore.
What were they spying on him for? Were they just laughing at him from the T-Mat Center? Hey, look at this idiot.
He closed the museum, so now we just watch him and laugh.
They turn the camera on, he's wearing the Gagarin's helmet, and they're like, ha, 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 what an idiot. Here, send a stinky smell through the T-Mat. He can't.
There's nothing stopping me from farting into the T-Mat and sending it to this guy's bedroom.
I hate this system so much. It's so dumb.
So Radnor reveals that they know that he was actually preparing a rocket for launch at some point. And he's like, we will give you full government backing for that launch as long as it's to the moon to fix the T-Mat. And Eldred is like, oh my God, goodness. Look who's come crawl. No,
it's not ready. They just expect this guy to get his rocket working like now.
Usually a rocket launch is sort of a spur of the moment.
It's a quick, it's an impulse. You just.
I didn't quite understand what happens here, because the museum T-Mat screen receives a call from the moon base.
They got the video working, I guess.
But why did they call it museum?
Because they wanted to laugh at Eldred.
Or did they first call the Earth base and the computer was like, hello?
No, they're at the museum. I'll transfer you.
They're just like, we got the video screen working. Let's go call for help. No, hold on. Let's go look at crazy old Eldred and laugh at him again.
Let's make fun of Eldred first.
they get a call from, so there's, it's Fripp, Locke, and Osgood.
Well, Locke is the guy who died first. Osgood is dead, as we know. Then there's Fripp and one other guy, and Fuchsia. I'm sorry, I misread. I could not tell you any of these losers' names. Yes, Locke is the guy that I called Dip earlier.
Who's the guy who's doing secret radio work?
That will be Fripp later.
Okay. And then Osgood is the loser later. Who immediately capitulates.
No, that's Fuchsia.
Fuchsia is the one who's the nepo baby who sucks at his job.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and then we see the aliens, and they look like, I kind of think they look like little Godzillas. They have, like, big, thick thighs, and they have, like, big, scaly faces and silly helmets. Just like Godzilla.
Would you be upset with me if I told you that I accidentally learned the name of these guys?
No! What are they, so we can call them?
They are called the Ice Warriors.
I feel like I've heard of the Ice Warriors before.
Yeah, I'm guessing I like they must like a, be. Because like, there was no explanation given for who they are, which I guess doesn't always have. I don't know, just the fact that we got two episodes into this serial and they have yet to tell us who they are makes me think that we probably are supposed to know who they are by now.
Maybe.
Anyway, they kill Locke. Oh no! Oh, no! They also have like big foam chainmail.
I love them. They're and, like, so funny.
Giant goggle helmets that are like 6 inches
and
thick.
I can't stress enough, thick thighs, huge thighs.
They look really sexy.
They're really
so the other maintenance like, guy who they is look Fripp like the, runs
they look
away.
Like Mewtwo. Yeah, they've got the Mewtwo body type.
Fripp runs away. And the boss Iceman sends the mini Iceman after him. And Fushim is like, please, I tried to stop
I'm trying
him.
To sell out my race of humans, but I
and
can't
And the ice
do
boss,
it.
The ice boss is like, very well, just fix the team hat before too late, or we'll fucking kill you.
I wish, if I could have some notes for this episode, I wish the breathing was slurpier.
Or die.
We're back on the museum of the museum.
It's
of
part
Fringe.
Two now, for the
yeah,
record.
It's part two. They are the doctor's trying to talk him into making his rocket because rockets are cool.
Don't let those men die, and also the too. World is gonna fall apart in like 3 seconds.
Yeah. But Eldred's like, well, you know, I just don't know if I got it in me anymore. And I just don't have the panache for the passion for rocketry.
I don't have the panache. I don't have the passion. I don't have the panachin.
I don't have the prax. I don't have the praxis troughton. I don't have the pretzel trouton.
I don't have the pretzels for this. Commander Radner is trying to give Eldred a pep talk, but Eldred's like, no, we literally don't have time to prepare for a safe launch. It's just not going to happen. This is where Jamie is like, yeah. Can we just use the TARDIS? And they're like, no.
Nope. We got 6 episodes to fill. We can't use it this time. and then the doctor's like, well, actually, you know, I and my 2 friends here, we space travel all the time. So we can go help you do it.
And they're just fine with that, even though...
Oh,
by
you guys
all
are,
rights,
you guys
they should have been executed by the government.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You have forbidden knowledge. You know of the dark history. You must die.
It's not that it's forbidden. It's that they just hate. It's just so dumb.
Why would you ever need to get a rocket up to the moon? We got transmats.
This is like how conservatives talk about like liberal arts degrees. They're like, good luck getting by in life with your underwater
with
basket
your, with your degree. Aerospace engineering PhD. Who would need
with
something
your,
like
doing
that?
A jerk off with your rocket science degree?
It's like, you know how it's like rocket science and brain surgery are like the two quote unquote you got to be smart for those jobs. It's like now it's the
not
idiot,
untrue,
yeah. Huh?
Not untrue.
No, it is extremely true, but it's like, these are the quintessential jobs that you need to be smart to have. It's rocket science, and it's not, when they say it's not rocket science, it means it's simple. And this timeline, they're like, oh yeah, it's basically rocket science. It's so easy that a baby could do it, and it's honestly embarrassing.
Someone's like feeling really bad about their like dead-end job, and their friend is
at
like,
least
hey,
I'm not
come
a
on,
rocket
man, it's not rocket science. You're gonna be okay.
Not a rocket. It's like the new version of flipping burgers. They're like, you could be. You better go graduate high school, kids, or you'll be stuck doing rocket science for the rest of your life.
God, my fucking loser nephew is a rocket scientist. We're all so disappointed in him. What is the point? What are you going to do?
Oh, how the tables have turned, dear listeners, because now
in a world.
The only man who can save the Earth is the last remaining rocket scientist.
This is basically the plot of the Good Burger movie.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I don't know, I haven't
it.
Seen it. Oh. Might be true, though. So Yeah, Radner's like, okay, well, the whole planet has ground to a halt because everything is reliant on T-Mat, so if we don't get to the moon... By the way, I don't know why they're able to, like, T-Mat around, just not the moon. They can't route it.
That's a very good question.
That's fine. So he's like, Kelly, prepare the rocket, whether he likes it or not. There's a great scene on the moon where two of the ice warriors are just, like, hissing at each other. They're just like... yeah, but if you ask me,
this is where we get to see Fripp.
I think I wrote down at some point that his name is Fripp.
Fripp, Robert Fripp, sits down and he plays his guitar, and then he goes to like a hiding spot in the solar energy storeroom where he spends the rest of the episode building. Like plugs a thing or pulls out a thing that says solar heat amplifier, so I guess it's like his power source. I don't know,
whatever. Uh-huh. This, by the way, is a different point in history to the invisible enemy episode.
Yeah, because things are spelled right, because so like
things are just written normally.
Heat amplifier. But yeah, I assume this was supposed to be like 22nd century or something.
That's about what I was thinking.
And that one is set in the 26th century, I think, is like 2500 or something, that mankind is colonizing outer space and being very nasty about it.
Kelly and Radner are talking about this whole thing, and she's like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
All the astronauts.
Yeah, we don't have any astronauts, but the man and the girl seem to know more about spaceflight than Eldred himself somehow. But that boy is a fucking idiot.
Yeah. What's his name? Jamie is like, but doctor, I want to go on the spaceship.
Oh, yeah. The doctor is like, you're not coming with us, Jamie. And Jamie's like, come on. And Eldred's like, well, it was designed for three people, and Jamie's like, yeah.
They spend a lot of time discussing the logistics of fuel and shipping and supplies.
They don't have enough fuel to get back, and the doctor's like, well, we only need to get over there, and then fix we can team at back.
There are multiple points in this episode where a character mentions, do we know that when we get there, we'll be able to fix the team at? And seemingly every time the doctor's just like,
This is so ridiculous, though, because Kelly is like, I need to go with them
to fix the T-Mat.
I'm the one who knows how to fix it. And then
Radner's like, no, because if you die, you're the only person on Earth who knows how the system works.
You are the only one who really understands T-Mat technology. And if we lose you, then we're screwed.
Why is this system so fragile?
We have one failure point, which is on the moon, which is the only place that is completely inaccessible if anything goes wrong, and the only person who knows how to fix it is on Earth, and there's only one of her, and like, if she dies, then Earth dies.
This is literally like something out of the Wolfenstein games, that it's like, Hitler is the only person in the world who's able, if Hitler's on the moon, and there's no way to get to the moon, and also if Hitler dies, then everyone dies on Earth or something like that. It's just like, why is this system so deliberately fragile? Why has nobody written a book on T-Mat technology? And I get, is Kelly just like that much of a go-getter
in her
job? Did
she invent it?
No, I think she's just good at it. And because this system is so people-forward, it's just, if you don't have a good person running the show, then the whole system of logistics on Earth is fucked.
All I'm saying is, the current voice actor for Donald Duck, Tony Anselmo, was trained in how to do the voice by the previous voice actor, because he knew that at some point he would die.
This voice for Donald Duck.
They are more careful about not losing the Donald Duck voice than these people are about not losing the only technology that anything uses in the world for everything.
To travel or receive vital supplies. Holy shit. Donald Duck. Oh my god. Oh, that was good. That was good. I like that.
But don't worry, if anything happens to Tony.
I don't know if you're getting better at it. You're getting better at it, I'm impressed.
It's really, not nothing.
You're really making strides. I'm proud of you.
The aliens, meanwhile, check on Fushim. He says he's almost done fixing it, but this is weird. because he doesn't ask. I don't remember. There's sort of a question in the air of, like, what are you going to do? Like, there's only three of you. What is the plan for when you get to Earth? And he's like, we don't need
it. They don't have doors. If they just turn the transmats off, they win.
That's right. They've already won. Just literally wait 10 minutes and then enjoy walking the charred remains of planet Earth.
It's just... Also, by the way, Kelly is also the guy on Lost who has to put the numbers into the machine. And if she dies, the whole Earth just dies, explodes.
Kelly's like, I really should be team-adding back to the hatch. I think we're coming up on like 80 seconds or so.
Gotta put in the old 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42, if you know what I mean.
Those are the numbers.
Then we're back with Robert Fripp. He's doing more. Okay, hold on a second. Because not only is he setting up his solar power amplifier and plugging it in, he also seems to be setting up some radar dishes that will come up later.
I have no idea what he's doing, to be honest.
Well, he sets up a funny trap later, but we didn't see him do this, so I was really surprised when he.
We should mention that their plan with the rocket is to land using a solar-powered, fully automated fuel depot. That's how they're going to land. And it's crucial
that the solar
it's fully automated and solar-powered.
This is the only thing in the world that
It has no battery. So if the power is cut off for even a moment, they're fucked. So just keep that in your mind, what with Fripp messing with the solar power line.
I wonder what's going to happen.
Oh, that... I'm looking at my notes, and I remember this. When he's setting stuff up, it, like, plays this dramatic musical sting, like a da-da-da. And I was like, what? I don't know. I guess that was them going, like, uh-oh, they need the solar power, and he's messing with it for his own whatever.
I guess
so. They're on the rocket, and I do need to shout out Kelly's actress for completely fumbling the countdown. She's like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
I love old Doctor Who. It's I feel like I could make a show of this caliber in my with an iPhone and a cup and a dream.
They launch the rocket. Eldred is very excited to see it, but uh-oh, the communications are dead.
This fucking rocket sucks, and now the Doctor and Zoe, good, and Jamie, bad, are on this rocket.
You know what
rocket.
I like about this episode?
What? That it's very
All
relaxing.
Of humanity is a bumbling sicko.
It's a planet of the planet of the Foss.
It's my favorite trope, and all people are it.
I do love bumbling sickos very much.
Yeah, so, oh my god, the part where the actors are pretending to be in zero gravity and they're just, like, waving their arms in the air, like, whoa!
Have you ever heard of spaceship acting, Sam?
No.
It's a Star Trek term, and it's, in Star Trek, they realize, I'm sure this is not, they didn't invent this for Star Trek, but when they made Star Trek, obviously... they didn't have a lot of, like, super fancy special effects, but what they would do is they would just shake the camera, and then the actors would just shake in their seats, and then it would give the impression of them, like, the ship jolting around. But people have taken the footage and, like, stabilized it, so you can just watch all the Star Trek actors rock around in their chairs. And they've also done it on, like, interviews and stuff, like in talk shows. They'll be like, let's do our spaceship acting. But anyway, that's what that reminded me of. It's very, very
yes,
funny.
Except in this, I don't think the camera is even shaking in the first place. They're just flailing around.
They're just, like, they're doing, like... What if I was treading water above water?
This was a very weird, like, nothing conflict moment, because Kelly is on the radio and she's like, hello, hello, do you copy? And Zoe's like, wait, don't move till the gravity control kicks in. Okay. And then she answers the phone and is like, hi, Kelly, we're fine. Like, okay, great, thank you. Don't know why they put that in. The doctor's like, oh, sorry, we must have blown a circuit here. And then we look and see that the whole computer console is, like, pouring out smoke.
This is the second time this has happened. It just keeps happening.
Weird. I'm thinking about it now. The doctor is, like, not that present in this episode.
Yeah, he's not really doing anything. I didn't really get a sense of, like,
I liked his vibes when he's talking to Eldred.
Yeah, he liked that a lot.
That's most of what we got, though. We didn't really get much more than that.
Yeah.
I've heard that he's known as the Cosmic Hobo, and I look forward to seeing more of him.
I would like to see him, too.
So Fushim finishes repairing the emergency TMAT link, but they tell him to put it on receive only?
Oh, no.
But I thought they were going to beam down to the planet or something, and they don't want to. Why that way? That they want to do it that way,
though. We don't like this planet that way. Sorry. I don't like this planet that much.
And this is where old Brent, remember Brent?
He
calls
Brent.
Kelly and he's like, we've received an emergency TMAT link from the moon, but it's asking us to send something. And Kelly's like, well, great, then I'll just go TMAT up to the moon and fix it. Uh-oh, and but there's aliens.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when she TMATs up to the moon. We get one more thing where the alive technician guy, Robert Fripp, the guitarist from the hit band King Crimson, please welcome him to the stage. He plugs in the solar power line. Oh no, he's gonna kill them all.
No, and he's got like a silly triangle of radar dishes.
And then Kelly does arrive at the moon, which I'm surprised that was a thing.
We should note that Radner is like, I'm not authorizing this. It's not safe. And she's like, I'm going. This is my responsibility as the only person who knows how the TMAT works.
If I die, the planet dies. And that is a risk I'm willing to take.
And that is a risk that is going to come true.
She goes up to the moon, and Fushim is there, and he tells a lie about how, like...
Oh, no, it's Phipps. I'm sorry.
Phipps. Robert Phipps. And Fushim is like, they all went crazy and killed each other, and Robert Fripp is dead.
I think Fushim literally says that Osgood had space madness.
Oh, so in a world where space madness is a term that exists, maybe you don't want to put the most important piece of Earth infrastructure on the moon.
Okay, but also... Fushim says that Osgood went berserk with space madness and killed them. He literally arrived at work like 30 seconds before that happened.
I mean, that's
can
what
you imagine? He's just like, hey, Miss Kelly, I'm sorry, I know I'm running late, I'll be right up. And then he's like, okay, let me get in the cubicle. Beep, beep.
I'm on the fucking moon!
I'm gonna go fucking crazy!
There's a poster on the moon transvest station that says, you have to be crazy to work here. It helps.
And it does not help.
Why is this system so bad? I can't get over it. Anyway, Kelly is like, okay, well, this sucks, but let me help you get it fixed. And then the camera pans back, and the Let's Player aliens are just, like, in the room with them, and, like, I don't know, they're hiding behind...
I couldn't tell. I thought they were, like, maybe watching them on a screen from another room, because if they're in the room with them, then this is... I'm getting space madness.
They're hiding behind the Master's TARDIS. I swear to God, they're just hiding behind some pillars, and they're just like... The humans are here.
I do want to note also, I learned a new use of a word, because Kelly, when she hears that Locke is dead and Osgood is dead and Phipps is injured and missing, she goes, well, this is fantastic.
This is great. This rules.
Apparently, fantastic used to mean unbelievable and not very good.
Very good, yeah. Fushim
lies and says that Osgood died walking outside with no spacesuit.
That's what the space madness does. You just go outside and you die. So, yeah.
I cannot believe that she just hears that and is like, oh, okay. Not like, really, I literally was talking to him right before he came up here.
He's like, oh, how's your daughter? Oh, it's her birthday. Yeah, well, I'm really excited to get off for the weekend. I'm going to go watch the football game.
Anyway, all right, I'll see you. Don't work too hard, all right?
The Iceman is like, okay, I'm going to go find that survivor so we can kill them all. And then I really liked this. Robert Fripp, the guitarist from King Crimson, he has finally set up his radio. And he keeps saying the same message where he says, like, hello. He says, like, hello, Earth to Moon. This is an emergency. Is anyone there? But every time he starts a message, which, hello, hello, hello. Hello. Hi.
I don't know what he's planning. He knows that the only system is TMAT.
I guess he just wants them to know that the Earth is, the moon is under attack. But
no,
then,
there's no system. There's no, they're not listening. They're only listening to TMAT broadcasts.
We cut back to the rocket and Zoe's like, okay, don't worry. I know that the system is incredibly precarious if anything's going on in the moon and the power fails, we'll all die, but it's solar powered and all we have to, it's also through radio and it's through a separate power source. So even if our ship is all fucked up because our communicator's broken, we'll be fine. It's tone based.
Yeah, it uses a homing tone. As long as we hear this hum, then we're all set.
As long as we hear this persistent noise, it's the foghorn. Oh,
and she's like, oh no.
It's the foghorn from, we have to keep the boiler going.
No!
Okay, here's the part that's really weird. So one of the Ice Boys follows Robert Fripp, the guitarist from King Crimson, into the room he's in. He sees the radio, then Robert Fripp, the guitarist from King Crimson, runs out of sight, and then he pulls a lever, and then the whole room goes photo negative, and I did not realize at this point that there were like three radar dishes. It was a control point from the game control setup, and then when the lights come back on, the alien is just gone. He's just dead.
Bye.
But
Zoe and the doctor listen to the scatting signal, and they're like, "Well, that's not good." And she says, "Well, we're either going to crash into the moon or drift through space forever." And that's the end of part two. I liked these episodes quite a lot.
They were very silly. I don't know if they thought these through that much.
No, but they had a $4 budget and they made it work.
They were really good nighttime sleep aids. I swear to God, if I ever have trouble falling asleep, I might genuinely just start putting on old episodes of a random old episode of Doctor Who. And the good news is I won't remember it because I'll be out in like 45 seconds.
Well, Jordan.
Yeah, it's time.
Do we give these episodes
we give them a rating, but we give it's so old that we give them in Roman numerals. What do we give this out of V? I give this an III out of V.
Yeah, I give it an III out of V.
Ay-ay-ay.
Can we do out of X?
Sure. It's a VII out of X.
Yeah, I give it a VII out of X. I agree. Jordan, what kind of coin should I flip?
I want you to flip a Sacagawean dollar this week.
Okay, let's see if they got that.
And you'd better screen share it for transparent.
I am screen sharing it.
Excellent. I was wondering. I forgot. I was like, what was that?
They do not have that.
No, okay.
I can do a Susan B. Anthony dollar.
Susan do B. Anthony. We should flip one of those.
All right. So if it's heads,
we're watching
parts 3 and 4.
If it's tails, we generate a new one. It's
heads.
We're
watching parts 3 and 4.
All right. Let's see. I might watch this one either on a treadmill or standing up so I don't fall asleep. Okay, well, that's it for this week. Thank you all very much for listening. No prayers. Just like Yuri Gagarin said, there was no God up here. And just like the Fury said, I'm mad as hell. I'm fucking pissed off. This fucking sucks. Thank you all for the money.
This is the worst.
I want to go back.
He got space madness immediately.
He just walked out the space door and he died. Oh my God. I can't wait, by the way, I can't wait to find out what the seeds of death mean, because we have seen no seeds.
But we have seen many deaths.
Many deaths. Thanks for the money, suckers.
Thanks for the money, suckers. I think there's also a serial called The Seeds of Doom.
That's... Yeah, because I started watching it on accident, and then
did you really?
Tom Baker showed up, and I went, uh-oh, wrong guy.
Did you really?
I did.
Good. Thanks for the money, suckers.
Thanks for the money, suckers.